Good evening, Carolyn. Good evening, everyone. This is Richard.
Wow. We had an interesting week after the last session with Babaji. And so many people talked about their experiences with this master and how they connected with him and the love that they felt and the work that they've done with him, that we asked Babaji to come back again today. And it seems like everyone was delighted, weren't they, Richard?
Indeed they were. It was amazing, actually, the feedback, as you say. So many people could recall past life experiences. A lot of people were connecting with him during the call or connect with him regularly. It was amazing, actually. We've not had any response quite like that before.
Well, all I could say is Babaji had to be very busy. He's a busy master. Working with so many people on earth, it was just beautiful. And so this is where we're going to start right now. We have some interesting questions that we're going to bring forth for Babaji and listen, bring in the questions of our listeners. But for now, let us begin to connect with this great master. And so how we do this, if you have not listened to our show, we suggest that when you hear Richard describe the energies that he is picking up from this master, that it's a great possibility that you can also. So focus on your third eye. Imagine a picture there of what you would think that Babaji would look like. You might have seen pictures of him on the internet, and call quietly his name and listen intently as Richard describes how what he picks up as he connects with him. Richard?
Well, perhaps unsurprisingly, it's very similar to last week. And for those who weren't with us last week, how I experience Babaji's energy is very centrally in my chest area, not focused in one place, but spread somewhat. This beautiful love energy, very complex and powerful, yet gentle. And as well as that, this almost dancing energy on top of that beautiful love. It's a beautiful, beautiful energy. I just love connecting with him. Powerful, yet gentle. And this might seem a little strange, but I do get a sense of the great wisdom that the man carries. Very, very interesting experience to connect with his energy.
Thank you, Richard. And I hope that the listeners are able to connect with him also. I see these threads between listeners and our guest Babaji. They're beautiful. They are what would appear to be thin threads of white light. It is just beautiful. I can't remember another time when I have been aware of this with a guest. And there are so many threads. He is saying to me that there are so many who work with him, who learn from him, and who he is teaching to expand their consciousness. So we do have callers on board with their questions. But first, we have a message from Babaji for all of you who listen to this. Richard?
I appreciate the opportunity to return to this show, and I am honored to be firstly given a second opportunity in this manner, but also to have so many souls that are drawn to work with me in the way that I do. I find it a great honor and privilege to work with those of humanity that are drawn to connect with me in this way. It is I trust, of benefit to them, but also a great joy for me to be able to contribute to others. It is why I remain on the planet and have done so for such a long period of time, to contribute to humanity, both on a what you might consider macro scale, to contribute to the consciousness on the planet, but also to hold energies through to the end of the cycle, but also to work with individuals, as Carolyn was describing, and as indeed I have done throughout most of my time upon the planet. And now there are more and more people around the world who are beginning to go within. And in some manner, on some level, they have been drawn to connect with me. And usually it is because they have a past life connection with me that draws them in this direction to reopen that connection. And so it is a great joy for me to work in this manner. Some might find it difficult to imagine how one can do this, to work with multiple souls at once. But indeed, this is not so difficult when you understand the true nature of the consciousness that we all hold. And so not all of this occurs in my, what you might consider, conscious mind. I am free to go about all the things that I do, including the ability to be seemingly physically present with many individuals, because I do have that ability to bilocate. And so truly it is a joy to contribute to as many of humanity that are open to this. And I do not, beyond this, wish to add a great deal more to what I spoke at the beginning of our call last week. Rather, I would prefer to spend my time responding to Carolyn's and listeners' questions.
Thank you, Babaji. I would just like to say to those callers online, we will get to you, but I want to cover a little bit with Babaji first, because there is important information that he has that I do believe everyone would be interested in. And what we wish to address is, in general, cycles. Because what is coming in our very near future is the culmination of several cycles. There is a 200,000-year cycle that humanity is ending. 200,000 years ago, humanity in its present form came into the planet. And we have a cycle ending that is the cycle of the dark. In this round of Brahma, one of the issues that we would be working with was the challenge of the dark and the light, and this is the ending of that cycle. There are a few other cycles that are coming to an end also, and what is in the near future is rejuvenation, ascension, and a few other things that we wish to discuss. And so I want Babaji's input into these cycles. Whatever he can share with us, I would appreciate.
It is not well understood by humanity that cycles play a major role in the unfolding of consciousness on many, many levels. You have very small cycles, like the natural in-breath and out-breath of a human being. This is a cycle, in a sense. And you have massively long cycles, like the cycles of Brahma, which are seemingly endless when compared with a particular individual human life. And yet, cycles are important on all levels. Indeed, in some ways you might consider that the major cycles that occur, for example, the cycle of Brahma, or in a sense, the cycle of the dark, which actually was longer than any given cycle of Brahma, that these cycles get played out both on that very macro level, but also in, you might say, shorter echoes of that long pattern down to very fine detail. And as one approaches the end of the cycle, you see this very fine detail of that macro cycle, in a sense, being played out. And some of these cycles are very fixed and defined. And the cyclical process shows up in places where many do not expect it. For example, if you examine the work of W.D. Gann, who was working primarily in the stock markets and the futures markets, this man forecast the date and the price within half a point of the Dow for the peak in 1929, and he forecasted and published it a year ahead. And people would ask how you could do that. But indeed, such cycles are actually programmed in, and those who have the skills and wisdom and understanding as to how to pull this apart can decode these things. He also forecast the major events of World War II. So those who are sensitive to these things can begin to pick them apart. Similarly, if one looks at the process involving the fall in Atlantis and the what you might consider recovery with the ascension process about to join you, there have been many attempts, if you will, between that fall and now, where beings of the light have come forth seeking to defeat the dark, only to be swept away once more. And this was repeated many times, attempts at bringing forth great golden ages. And in a sense, they would, in some cases, flourish for a period, only to be destroyed. And those longer patterns have been played out in, you might say, minutiae in this particular lifetime by some individuals, as that patterning is, you might consider, being completed. And so cycles do have a very important role in the expression of consciousness. In a way, you might consider that principle as, which is expressed as above, so below, where you have, for example, star systems mapped out on the ground by buildings in some cases, and indeed energy points on the planet in perhaps the same pattern. For example, a mapping of Venus or Orion. Not Venus, but Virgo and Orion on the ground. In a way, these two are expressions of the same energetic notions as the cycles that we are discussing here. So this is a very important aspect of consciousness that many do not understand. And as has been shared with you previously, the ending of the cycle of the dark, the beginning of the in-breath of this cycle of Brahma, and this ascension moment for humanity all have been, you might say, synchronized, so that indeed this ascension moment on the planet was selected, you might say, before the planet was even created. So it is quite a complex process, you might say. And in a sense, you see some of this played out in what you consider astrology, as, again, there are cycles and patterns that occur in the heavens, some of them planetary, some of them with star systems, where these patterns influence the experience of so much on the planet, including human consciousness on a global and on an individual level. So the importance of cycles in the living of life is truly profound.
Thank you for that. Something that is of great interest is the human physical body itself, the experience of it now, and the changes that will occur in the physical body as we go into that next, you might say, period, either at rejuvenation or beyond. Tell us what will happen as you see it with the physical body.
Perhaps to understand this, it is important to reflect upon the history. And by that I mean the state of the physical body before the fall in Atlantis. Because in that time, those individuals that were walking a path of the light carried a great perfection in the human form, and indeed had great light shining forth from the body. But there was this physical perfection that would last thousands of years if the individual chose. There was no aging process per se in the physical form, and it carried a great perfection. And indeed, it is this memory of perfection that draws humanity today to individuals such as film stars or supermodels and so on, because there is this recall of that perfection and this draw to return to it. This echo is carried in every human being. It is something that every soul remembers. And with the fall in Atlantis, the nature of the physical form was changed quite markedly. Prior to the fall, children were not brought forth through the birth canal. Before the fall, there were over 2,000 active DNA strands in the human physical body. Today there are two. Before the fall, the two hemispheres of the brain were much more closely connected than they currently are, though that has already begun to be reversed. And there are many other forms. Also, the physical body, unless one knows how to modify it, ages in this consciousness due to the decay of that element of the genetic code known as the telomere. So this aging process proceeds. And in order to prepare for the unfolding of ascension, this perfected physical form needs to be reclaimed. And as has been shared by these two in other places, a key aspect of the work done by Yeshua and Mary Magdalene through their children was to refresh the human DNA because it had been interfered with. That refreshing ensured that the DNA that was not forming part of the currently active two DNA strands would be available in a form to be reactivated in this time, and that indeed has been completed. Every being of human form now carries active, what you consider junk or mitochondrial DNA, that is now in a state where it can be reactivated because the interference has been corrected. So the DNA needs to be reactivated. The damage to the telomere in all of the cells repaired. The physical form brought forth in its perfected form. And this might sound a little odd to many of you that those, for example, who might be missing a limb will have that limb return. Those that have had corrective surgery of any type will have that corrected. It is hard to imagine this because you have a fixed and finite view about how the physical body works and what it is capable of. And I simply say to you, I have lived upon this planet for over 2,500 years, and I have not aged as most do. That alone will give you some sense of the possibilities of the human form if you understand it properly. So there will be this perfection brought forth through the rejuvenation process, as it is called, though really calling it rejuvenation does not do it justice because it is much, much more than just rejuvenating the physical form back to a younger age. It is also bringing forth this Atlantean perfection. And whilst I say Atlantean perfection, some of the changes that were made in the physical form with the fall will remain. For example, children will continue to come forth through the birth canal because that choice was made in part to eliminate the abuses that had been undertaken in Atlantis. Such abuses will not be allowed again. And even though there are those experimenting with endeavoring to do it through test tube kind of processes, that will not be allowed to get to a point where it is truly unfolding in the manner that it was in Atlantis. And so there is this preparation of the physical form that must be completed for those who will be participating in ascension prior to that pending December solstice. And it is hard for you to imagine how this will be undertaken. And it is not something I wish to open up here in this moment, but I will simply say that those who will participate in this event will be prepared as they need to be prepared in the manner that I have described. So I trust this addresses your question.
It does, Babaji, and I thank you. We're going to go to line one. Melinda is on line one. And Melinda, welcome. And what question do you have for Babaji?
Hello, is this, am
this
I on?
This is Carolyn, Melinda. What question do you have, dear?
Yes, ma'am. My question for Babaji is, I've been to your ashram in Harakon. My given name there was Lalita. My question is, other than japa, what else can we be doing that will prepare us or sustain us through the Kranti that is coming?
You, like any other soul that is on the planet, apart from accepting the truth of the nature of your Creator, need do nothing. This might sound extreme, but I spell it out so simply because it is not as so many would describe, that there is some special work that individuals need to undertake to prepare. Because of the nature of this difficult consciousness, it has not been left to such processes to risk the moving forward of those who are prepared. Now, I will say that not everybody on the planet is going to participate in this process, and perhaps it is a good moment to say that there were those who, in a sense, moved forward from the time in Atlantis. Not all of humanity went through the fall. Some went forward to the what you might consider New Earth, where humanity will be ascending to. And so there will be, in this process about to come forth, a separation of those who own their relationship with their Creator on some level and are prepared to move forward. And that is all that needs to be done. There are many who say that humanity needs to cooperate in some manner to have the future, the preferred future, unfold. And those who say these things do not understand the nature of what is unfolding. I am not for one moment suggesting that cooperative efforts by humanity to improve the quality of life, the perspective of individuals or groups, the efforts to bring forth truth by a number of groups and so on. I'm not for one moment suggesting that these are not productive, both in the current moment or indeed that they do not have an impact upon human experience beyond this transition, because they do. But at a fundamental level, the change which is about to come upon you will leave such efforts appearing to be almost minute by comparison with the impact of this transition. And so do not get caught up, dear one, in thinking you need to do some special things, because you have done already more than is necessary to participate in this process. You own your connection with your Creator, and the rest, in its own way, will come into place. So it is.
Thank you, Babaji. And Melinda, aren't you happy that you got that answer?
Yes, I am. Thank you very much. Thank you, Babaji.
You're welcome. We're going to line four now. Purvi is on line four. Welcome, Purvi. What can we ask Babaji for you?
Hi, Richard and Carolyn. Thank you so much. My question is about the breast cancer that I was diagnosed with last year. What I would like to ask Babaji is, what lesson did I desire to learn through this experience? Because I know that this was planned by me.
I heard part of it, Purvi, but you were talking about a health issue last year. Is that what it was?
Yeah, I said I was diagnosed with breast cancer last year.
I understand now. Thank you. So,
my question is, what lesson did I desire to learn through it?
Yes. Richard, did you hear that?
Yes. It is not a lesson so much, Purvi, that you are wishing to learn through this. So many consider that the only path for choosing particular experiences is for lessons that need to be learned. And this, in so many ways, is a thinking that arises from the common misconceptions about karma, the need to learn lessons in lifetimes. And I'm not for one moment suggesting that individuals do not come forth in a given lifetime to learn particular things, because they do. But you chose this path, dear one, as a demonstration. As a demonstration that with this, what you might consider affliction, that you will bring forth a perfected form as the rejuvenation process unfolds. You will be one of the examples, you might say, of the impact of this process, as many of the cherubim are, as you understand. Many have chosen difficult paths. Some suffer from great debilitating pain. Others suffer from other illnesses and diseases of various sorts, including multiple sclerosis and others. And the intention here for a number of advanced souls is simply to demonstrate the shift in the state of health of the physical human form as a result of the rejuvenation process. So do not be preoccupied with lessons, dear one. Do not give life a doubt or a sense of limitation or indeed being in a state where you need to learn anything. You carry a perfection of soul, as indeed do those others with whom you are familiar because of who and what you are. Allow these things to unfold and all will be well. So it is.
Thank you, Babaji. Purvi, I trust that his answer gave you a new direction to think about.
Yes, it did, Carolyn, and it is something that's been coming to me as well, that it's okay, everything has passed, whatever had to pass, just mm-hmm. be on the path, and just relax and just chill. Still, this question came to me last time, and I wasn't able to call in, so today I made you, but I was able to call in and, you know, talk to you and speak to Babaji as well. I have one more short question. Would it be okay for me to ask?
Yes, Barbie. We have time, dear. We have time, dear. What's your question?
Okay, so my date of birth, Carolyn, is 21st of December, 1967, at 11:11 a.m. Now, I never knew the significance of this date up until a year or two or 3 years ago. And because I figured out that 21st December at 11:11 a.m. is the alignment, I'm just curious to know, as a soul, would I have picked this date? Does it have any significance? Is there some message encoded in this date of birth?
That's an interesting question, Purvi. I think a lot of people wonder about that. So, Richard, did you hear that from Purvi?
Purvi, your birthday was the 21st of December. Is that what you said?
Yeah, 21st December 1967 at 11:11 a.m. So this year, on 21st December, I complete 45 years, which in numerology adds up to 9, and 9 is the number of completion. So I'm just curious to know if I've got this understanding that I picked up this date of birth because I was giving myself some kind of coded message.
As you understand, there are no accidents, and indeed all children being born choose the time of their birth down to the minute. You might consider this to be extreme, but indeed all children choose this. And this might seem hard to imagine even with those born through C-section, but this indeed remains in place. It is, again, difficult for you to imagine it as you view this consciousness, but indeed it is so. And it is because that moment of birth carries a lot of power from, firstly, an astrological sense, but secondly, numerologically also in many cases, though not perhaps in all cases. Certainly astrologically it is significant. And in your case, your soul was in a way playing a game, simply a little game that you might come to understand as you came to understand who you are and the importance of this date and the realization that this would unfold. It does not have any great energetic significance. You might consider it to be an exquisite cosmic joke on the part of your soul, because indeed, that is exactly what this is, a mark of acknowledgement to you, that beautiful soul that came forth in this life to assist with this special work that is being undertaken by the cherubim at this time. And so it is.
Thank you, Babaji. So, Purvi, you got your answer, dear.
This is really funny, because this is exactly what has happened, because I started doing numerology and changed my name about 5, 6, 7 years ago. And that's when I figured that it was a master number 11. So I used to jokingly call myself a master, never knowing what it meant in the spiritual context. And then slowly I've been moving into this path, and then I figured the significance of the date and the numbers 4, 45. Coming together on this December 21st. And it's been, really, it has been like a game, just the way Richard said, you know, just the way Babaji said. So thank you so much.
Well, Master Purvi, thank you for your question.
The master in me bows down to the master in all of you. Thank
Indeed.
You so much.
Namaste. Something that Babaji brought up kind of triggered a question for me. And how important the date is and the time that a soul comes into this world, that indeed, no matter what happens, the soul's going to come in at that arranged time. And I became curious with this, with regards to women who have the birth changed by inducing labor or from some other methods. And so what would Babaji have to say about that?
In a sense, I have already answered your question by referring to those born by cesarean section.
Mm.
The same applies to those who experience an induced birth. You see, these things are understood on levels that, for the most part, humanity does not understand. And so these timings factor all these things in. It is hard to imagine in that consciousness, but that is how it unfolds. It is how it is.
Thank you so much. I appreciate the enlightenment. And on line two, we have Louis. Welcome, Louis.
Hi, Carolyn. Hi, Richard. Hi, Babaji.
On line two,
the
Louis.
The question I would have for you, for Babaji, is could Babaji give us an idea of what is going to happen to us on December 21st, and then after that in March? So trying to get a sense as to how things are going to change, whether it's our life, our bodies, something like that.
Richard, did you hear the question?
Yes. There are many elements of this that have already been shared through the work of these two, and I do not wish to repeat all of this. And I encourage you to visit the existing recordings and material on their 2012 website, which I am sure you are familiar with. However, what I will say, I have already said that the physical form will change ahead of that. And also it is necessary for the negative past life karmic energies to be cleared. It is not well understood by humanity that these negative energies are not accumulated from one lifetime to the next in another consciousness other than this one. Indeed, it was never intended that they be accumulated in the manner that they are being accumulated on this planet when there was the fall from the fall in Atlantis. Indeed, prior to the fall, it did not occur here either. And there have been many distortions of true nature of the negative past life karmic energies as expressed through religions. And these are distortions. It is a much simpler issue. And these energies need to be cleared because there is a cosmic law which says negative energies created on one level of consciousness cannot be taken forward to a higher level of consciousness. And so these energies need to be cleared. And this law is in place in part to exercise control, but also to ensure that those souls that have not fully prepared cannot move forward. They need to deal with, you might say, their issues in a given particular consciousness. And so there is this law that is in place. And in the case of humanity, because of this very difficult consciousness, there has been this accumulation of energies from one life to another. And it is completely unrealistic for humanity to contemplate clearing these through any traditional mechanisms. I'm not saying they cannot be cleared otherwise, because they can. However, to consider humanity working through thousands of lifetimes to clear this in some manner, and for all those was eligible to participate in this process simply was not a realistic possibility. and yet this law needed to be obeyed. And so a dispensation was given by the karmic board to allow these energies to be cleared. And it is one of the roles of those cherubim that remain in the etheric that they come forth and clear these energies when time is right. So this clearing will be done, and this will be cleared only for those who acknowledge their creator and their souls have chosen for the individual to move forward in this manner. And so these two steps that we have discussed, rejuvenation and the clearing of these energies, needs to be completed before that date. And so for those that have undertaken this preparation, there will be an experience of powerful energies coming in. And for those who are aware, the opportunity to accumulate great wisdom from other contexts that will be shared with humanity if they are willing and open. But apart from this, it will be an experience that you will simply pass through because your physical form has been prepared. Those who have not prepared, however, these negative karmic energies that their bodies contain, their emotional bodies in particular, contain, these energies will be vibrated apart because there is effectively a shift in consciousness, the shift in particle spacing and so on that will occur on this state that will cause those energies to be vibrated apart, and any physical form that contains them will also be vibrated apart in the same manner. And it will be as if they disappear from this consciousness. And so what will remain beyond it are those individuals that are moving forward with these changes. Then there will be that moment when the DNA is completely reactivated, and there will be at that equinox of March next year this transition, you might say, for those individuals who are remaining on the planet, for them to, you might say, transition to what is known as the new Earth. It is hard to imagine. Some people think this will occur via spaceships or some other manner, but it is not like that. This is, in a sense, an energetic transition. Humanity, for the most part, has no understanding of the multidimensionality of what it means to be a human being, or indeed within most expressions of consciousness. And so it will be a, in a sense, transition from one dimension to another. You will not experience moving physically. Rather, it is like you will almost go to sleep on Earth as you know it and wake up on the new Earth, pristine and clean, with joining those beings that have been there since the time of Atlantis, where they moved to that consciousness. So, in simple terms, they are the steps that are to be unfolded over the coming months.
Thank you, Babaji. So, Louis, that sounded to me like a very complete answer for your question. Would you agree?
Yes, thank you very much. It's much appreciated.
Thank you, Louis.
So, thank you very much to all of you.
You're welcome. That beautiful answer that Babaji gave us kind of opened up another thought that I had about the process. So energetically, we're going to move from where we are now to the new Earth if we are prepared. And there are other beings there already. So what about what is on this Earth? I'm thinking particularly of maybe our home, our schools, the hard, you might say, buildings and structures of all sorts. Will that soul that energetically moves to the new earth, will they find any of it there, or is all their surroundings going to be different?
It will be a mixture of the two. There are many things that exist on this planet that will not remain on the new earth. And yet, it is also important to acknowledge the ability of the human being to create, to manifest. And so I encourage all of those listening to envision how they would like their life to be, beginning, for example, with what kind of housing they might like, how they would like to see life unfold for them, how they would like to interact with others, how they would like to envision communities existing. These kind of things will have an impact on what your initial experience will be upon the planet. Yes, it is an environment where pollution will be cleared, and so much of what you might consider eyesore-type development and abuse of the planet will not exist in that consciousness. But those basic elements of living will be in place and expressed to a large degree according to your preferences. And as events unfold, you will come to understand that you can readily change these things. And so, as you grow in your experience and understanding and appreciation of the new consciousness, then you may choose to change quite radically your experience in regard to these things. And you can simply dissolve what you have and bring forth something to replace it. It is as simple as this. Some will know from Yogananda's book that indeed I demonstrated this with a golden palace in the Himalayas for one of my loyal followers who had worked with me over several lifetimes, because I knew he had this great desire to experience great opulence. And so I created this for him to experience. And indeed, it was a very real experience for him. She experienced for a day and a night, and then I simply dissolved it. And in time, humanity in general will be able to do this, every last one of them present in that new consciousness. But it will take time. There are lessons to learn. There are skills to develop. It is not as if you will step into that new consciousness and suddenly have all these skills and abilities in place. Some will take to this more readily than others, but it is a learning process and everybody will claim that mastery. Again, you have been told many times that belief and trust and faith are very important in all of these things. And if you doubt yourself, then it will take some time to build that skill, build that trust, build that mastery that is required to do these things. But everyone will gather that, will garner it in time. And you will simply transform the nature of your physical environment very rapidly indeed. It is hard to imagine the ability to do this, but it will be so. And this propensity of humanity to treasure things of the physical will for the most part dissolve, because really you'll be able to bring forth anything in the physical that you desire. Things that you have desired for perhaps more than this lifetime, you can simply bring forth in your experience. And so in doing so, you will extinguish this draw, this desire, just as I did with my disciple, you might call him, when I brought forth that palatial opulence for him to experience. It quenched this thirst within him, and so it will be for many of you. And once you have experienced it, the attachment to physical things will dissolve, because really you can have anything you want. You can bring it forth from the background energies in one way or another. And so it will be as you wish it to be. And there will be great experimentation with this, I am sure, for much of humanity after they master these skills. And it will be a very humorous time, I expect, as people will experiment with these things, as they, you might say, quench these desires that will remain beyond that transition. But you see, there is no harm done, you might say, because you can simply bring it forth and dissolve it as at will. There is no harm done.
That is beautiful. Thank you for such a beautiful and complete answer, Babaji. And we are getting to the end of this hour. I just don't know where the time goes when we speak to such masters of wisdom such as you. And so we would like to thank you from the bottom of my heart, and I'm sure Richard feels the same way, for coming forth, to be willing to come forth and share your great wisdom with us and with our listeners. Thank you so much, Babaji.
It has been my pleasure to come forth, and indeed it is a great joy to be able to connect with some of your listeners in this manner, some of whom have connected with me in past lives also. It is a great joy to be able to connect and bring and share some of my joy of the human existence with you all. So it is.
Again, thank you. It was a great joy for us to have you here sharing your wisdom. Thank you again. Richard, we have 3 minutes. As I said, I don't know where the hour goes. It just slips away. I think I can speak for you too, have been in awe at some of the information that has been coming through the soul journeys that we're doing for people.
Mm.
Is there something that you might want to address that you felt was of great interest?
Yes, there are a few things that have come forth in a recent reading that I found fascinating, and that is, for example, one that you were bringing forth just the last few days was talking about how some of the cherubim came forth after the fall in Atlantis to really hold the vibrations together, you might say, because there was a very real risk. I mean, we've heard this come forth before in some forms, that the creator gods were not sure that humanity would survive this transition to the third dimension, because beings with a soul had never existed in this dimension before. And so some of the cherubim, in some cases very powerful cherubim, came forth to, as I said, kind of hold the dimensions together, hold this new vibration so that it simply didn't crumble to nothing. I think the words were to collapse into something the size of a pinhead. It's hard to imagine. And so it was really interesting to hear this. Another aspect of this that I found interesting was an individual being incarnated in this lifetime, and their monad would be present on the new earth working with them. Now, that kind of struck me as interesting, because I'd always perceived the monad as being defined, if you will, required to be in the center of the cosmos. But really the issue here is not that the monad has moved from the center of the cosmos, but indeed it has far greater abilities than we begin to imagine. And so we hear of individuals like Babaji bilocating, and of course the monad can do this also. So in a way, it is the monad in a way bilocated to the new earth to work with this this cherubim that's incarnated on the planet as it is. Fascinating stuff. I found that really interesting, and I learned a lot from it.
I do too, Richard, and unfortunately it's time for us to go and I can't get too much involved in it. But what I'll say real quickly, what was there for me is the changes that it made in people's lives when they heard these pieces put together of their journey.
Truly, truly profound.
So thank you for your work today. We appreciate it so much. Without you, we wouldn't have a show now, would we, besides our beautiful guests?
And without you either, Carolyn. You make this all work. You really do. Thank you.
Thank you.
And until thank you to next... all of those who come forth to join us. Without your presence, we would have no show.
So for now, good night to everyone. Until next week.